Hey, everybody, welcome back to church. I am so glad that you could be with us today. Would you take a moment, and if you like what you've been hearing, would you click that like button, comment, let us know where you're from, where you're at, what you're walking through. We'd love to just make a great connection with you today. Also, click that share button. That would mean a lot to us if you wouldn't mind doing that. It's always good when I see people sharing the messages that they feel are encouraging with their friends and with their social media influence. I do believe it's how the Word of God is getting out to every corner of the earth today, and you get to be a part of that. And it means a lot to me. I want to thank you guys for your generosity, for those of you that have been supporting us financially. It is awesome to be a part of a group of people that have not lost their confidence and are still at a place where they want to support what God is doing. And so thank you so much for being generous with your tithes. We always want to make sure that if your home church is not getting your tithe, please don't send that to us. This should go to the place where you know that God has led you to be a part of that community. And for those of you that this is your church, even if it's online church, hey, we are so grateful for you. Thank you for tuning in today. I believe that God has a powerful word in store for us. So I want you to turn to two passages of scripture, if you wouldn't mind. The first thing we're going to do is start out in Isaiah chapter 1. I'm just going to read just a verse or two from Isaiah chapter 1, but really there's a ton in Isaiah chapter 1 that the Lord was leading me to as we're getting ready to bring this message today. And if you have some time, you want to dig into the Word, if you're a Word person and you love the Word like me, Isaiah chapter 1 is a great place to start and maybe spend some time in today. I think it gives us a great snapshot of really what's going on in our world and the state of our country. And so The second passage there is Luke chapter 18. And so I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the obvious elephant in the room. On every news outlet, on every piece of social media, all across the country, all across the world, things have taken a turn for the worst at the absolute worst possible time, right? You ever been in the place where it feels like it just rains and then it goes from raining to pouring? Like when it rains, it pours. That's a true statement. And it's like, okay, at the worst possible time, we're going to deal with social injustice and racial discrimination and some rogue police officers. And are you serious right now? Like murder hornets. We had murder hornets and on top of coronavirus. Is this all going to end anytime soon? Let me just tell you this. We're closer to the end than we've ever been. How about that? I'll give you that. That's all I can offer you. But it's obvious that we're all on the same page today. We're all looking through the same lens. Maybe for the first time in history, or the first time at least in a long time, the world is looking at our country. The world is looking at who we are and what we're about. And the world is listening. And I think it's important that when the world is listening, that you have something to say.
Yeah.
In times where the world is curious, in times where the world is listening, where do we go? Mm-hmm. We have to go back to the Word of God, to this book. You know, our world has been consumed with fear now for the better part of 3 months. And now we've moved into a new phase and it's called frustration. And I know this to be true. When you have fear and then you add frustration to it, what you end up with is a recipe for very fragile faith. That's a lot of F words in there for you. For those of you that have never thought you'd hear an F word in church, fear and fragile faith come when you add frustration to the equation. And this is where our world is. We're seeing frustration on a global level. We're seeing an outcry that's coming. And I've never seen it addressed. And I think that maybe the silver lining to this is that people are actually listening. It's a great time in the midst of the worst of times. Remember that book, The Best of Times, The Worst of Times, the opening line in there? I kind of feel like that's where we are. There is something that God is doing and God is saying in the midst of the worst of times. We're looking at racism now, and I feel like that's where God is kind of pointing our attention to. I think it's important that we address it. And I honestly believe that America still has a problem with racism. Here we are 200 years later, still dealing with these issues. And I think that is because the church has yet to really show up to the party. America has a racism problem because the church has just failed to address it. And I'm not going to sit here and point a finger at my brothers that are in ministry. I'm pointing that finger right back at myself. One of the things about being a pastor here in East Texas is that I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt when I moved to this area that one of the strongest spiritual forces in East Texas is that spirit of racism. In case you don't know anything about Longview, Longview is actually divided almost along the lines of race by Highway 80. And on one side of our city lives most of our black population. On the other side lives the white population. And here I am somewhere in the middle, right? But I think God positioned our church right where we are for that strategic purpose. Yeah. We're meant to be a bridge from one to the other. And it's time that this thing dies. It's time to die. The church has to show up to the party. We have to go back to the Word of God and find truth in the midst of chaos. People are listening. Let's give them the truth of the Word of God. I believe with all my heart that for the destruction that we're seeing, for the fear, for the panic, for the anger, for the outrage that we're seeing, only Jesus offers a better reality. Only Jesus. You know, there's no solution in politics. There's no answer on social media. There's no answers in looting and destruction. That none of that is productive. Only Jesus offers that better reality. And maybe the better question to ask for those of us that have no idea why all this is happening, you don't understand what's going on when people are rioting and looting and protesting and are up in arms about this. Maybe the better question that we should ask is, what would it take? And this is the question I asked myself this week. What would it take for me to riot, for me to protest? What would be the last straw in my life that would make me get out and protest in the middle of a global pandemic? How frustrated would you have to be? I think this is a good question to ask yourself if you've never been in the situation where you've had to explain to your son what it's like to be pulled over by a police officer and how to behave because you're a minority. If you've never had to have that conversation with your teenager, then I believe you might want to listen. You might want to try to understand from a different perspective, because there are things that you might not have ever had to come in contact with. And this is part of what it means to be a minority and to raise up minority children. There are things that we deal with as minorities that other people have never had to address. And so if you've never had to address that, if you've never had to have those conversations, it's going to be difficult for you to understand the other side of this argument of why people are rioting and looting. Why are they protesting and burning things to the ground? How frustrating would it have to be before you let yourself go to that place where you're burning your own neighborhoods down? And I think it's time that we listen and ask ourselves why. How did it get this way? You know, if you watch the video of what happened to George Floyd and you watch a grown man cry for his mother as he's dying, as he's being suffocated for 9 minutes, if you watch that and you don't have some outrage inside of you, are you even human? Do you not see this? And the frustration comes because it's easy for us to look at it and say, yeah, but that is one incident with one police officer and one black man. But this has been going on for centuries. This is an age-old problem that hasn't been addressed. And where is the church in all of this? Where are we at? I had to point this finger at myself, because if I knew that this was going to be a problem in my city, then why haven't I been teaching about this? And I was thinking, man, how many messages have I ever done on the problem of racism? I'm looking at myself. And ask yourself that question. How many messages, how many sermons have you ever sat through in your life that dealt with racism? I bet you can count them on one hand or less. I've heard lots of messages on faith. I've heard a lot of messages on giving. I've heard a lot of messages on how to do things and how to make your life better. I've not heard a lot on racism, not from the church. And because we failed to address it, it's still here. But it's time that the church listened. And when I opened God's word and asked the Lord, what do you want me to say about this? Because it's obvious the Lord is stirring this up in my heart to talk about the racial issues that we're discussing in our country. I was shocked at the amount of scriptures that were literally jumping out of this book at me. There are hundreds of scriptures that deal with racial issues. The Bible is very clear where it stands on the issues of discrimination and justice. But I don't hear that taught a lot. We have to get better. We have to be better, and I'm making that pledge to get better. I'm going to do my part as a minister of the gospel to train our people to be better, to ask ourselves why, how did it get this bad, and what can I do? It's easy to feel powerless when we're listening and we're watching and we're experiencing these things. It's easy to feel powerless or to say, well, I'm just going to post a bunch about it, and I'm going to post my political opinions. Shut up. You're not bringing anything constructive to this. We have to go back to the truth of the authority of the Word of God, or we're just making more noise. And nothing is more frustrating than somebody just adding more noise to something that's already too loud. The good news here is that Jesus offers a better way. He offers the only viable solution, and that's love. And by the way, he has the perfect delivery system, and it's you. It's me. I was drawn to just several scriptures, and I have so much that I could share with you tonight, so many different scriptures, but just for the interest of time, in the book of Luke in chapter 10, there's a story of the Good Samaritan. And I won't read the whole thing. Many of you have known it, you've read it, you've memorized it. But think about this. Jesus is expressing himself in a parable, and he says there was a man that was beaten up on the side of the road and left for dead. He was robbed. And then he talks about the priest and the Levite, those that were known for their faith. They crossed over to the other side. They ignored it. Said, I've got enough to worry about. I've got coronavirus to worry about. I lost my job. I got this to worry about. But yet there was a Samaritan, someone that was an outcast, someone that wasn't looked at as an equal, the marginalized in society, that came to him, that bound up his wounds, that paid for him as he was resting and recovering. He said, whatever he needs, just let me know, and I'll settle up the bill when I come back, but take care of this man. And Jesus says this in verse 36. It says, which of these three people do you think was a neighbor to the man that fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law, someone that knew the word, replied, well, obviously the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. Mercy. Have mercy. I wish that I could say, I'm the Samaritan. I'm the person that's willing to cross the street and get down in the dirt and help somebody. But more often than not, I've been the one to look away and say, I've got enough on my plate to worry about. I can't help everybody. We'll hide behind excuses of why this is not my problem. The church has become too silent for too long about what absolutely is your problem. This is a sin problem. God's word points us back to what is true, and Jesus commands us to go and do likewise, to show mercy. You know, God has a plan for justice, and the title of this message today is God's five-step plan for justice, and it's very clear in Isaiah chapter 1. It's really the heart of where I'm at this week in my own study and what the Lord has brought me to, and me facing my own failures in this area, my own inadequacies. He brought me back to Isaiah chapter 1 and really opened my eyes about what is happening in our country right now. And I want to just focus on the five things that he lists out in verse 17. He says this, I want you to learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause, or one that doesn't have anyone to speak up for themselves. God's words jumped off that page at me this week because I realized how many times that I haven't looked at his plan and been a part of it at all. I've had my own agenda. I'm busy, got lots of things going on. But it's time that we deal with this. And I think it's time to deal with it once and for all. And so in God's five-step plan, the first thing he tells us to obviously do is to learn. He says, learn to do good. And here's the problem is that we're learning from the wrong book. We're learning from social media. We're learning from news feeds. And you're injecting yourself with something that is not the truth. That's right. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down this way. We can't learn what is good if we don't open the good book. That's good. The issue is we believe that we already know. We're busy learning from the wrong sources. But Micah 6:8 is a great scripture that I think the Lord led me to this week. And it says, "What God has already told you this, oh man. He's already instructed you. This is what you're supposed to be about. Or in other words, you should know this. He has told you, oh man, what is good? If we're supposed to learn good, well, what is that? He says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? You know, I would not describe Americans as humble people. And it's hard sometimes to separate our American culture from our Christian culture. They intertwine perhaps too much. But as children of God, we are called to walk in humility and to learn what is good. And the good thing that God considers good here is justice, kindness, and humility. You know, that's something that we have to learn. And that only comes from a daily walk with the Lord. You're not going to learn what justice is aside from God. You're not going to learn humility outside of the Lord. You can humiliate yourself. Or you can be self-deprecating, but that's not true humility. True humility comes from recognizing something that is much better than yourself. And that only comes from relationship with God. Psalm 119 says this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end." This is how I'm going to learn good. I'm going to learn from the Lord, not from my social media feed. That cannot be my source of wisdom. You're going to be left wanting because it's the most confusing thing of all time right now. What to believe? Who to listen to? Who's true? Who's wrong? Who's right? And we end up just siding along with our ideals and only reinforcing what we already believe. We're not looking at this with an open mind. Yeah. We're looking to reinforce what we've already made up our mind about. Come on, man. God's plan says, I want you to learn what is good. What is good? His word is good. Yeah. Get back to the authority of his word. It tells us what justice is and how to bring it to those that don't have a voice. Yeah. Here's the second part of God's plan. He says, I want you to seek justice. Seek it. You know, it has to be something that we're willing to look for, not to turn a blind eye to. Mm-hmm. Seek it. Let me ask that question of our church. Are we really seeking after justice? Or are we just busy? You know, our country has fought for years against racism, all the way back to the Civil War. And I just had this thought, you know, if this is the last battle of the Civil War, if this is it, then let it come. So be it, because this thing has to die. It has to end. I don't want to be dealing with this problem with my grandchildren. Until we learn to see people as equals, until we learn to see people as God sees them, as something created in the image of Him, we're going to be fighting this battle for a long time. So if it's the last one, bring it. Let's fight it. Let's kill it. Let it be done. Let it be done today. I believe that this can die out with this generation. And it's time. Seek justice, he says. The third key to God's plan for justice, it says, is to correct oppression, to correct it when you see it. You know, refusing to see that oppression is what I feel like many of us do. We don't want to see it. We want to ignore it. But refusing to see it is really frustrating to those that live underneath it. Really frustrating. Not willing to correct at all, it just destroys all hope for the future. And what you see happening on a global scale right now is people that have lost hope, and frustration boils over. And this is what you're left with: destruction, looting and rioting. There's no hope. There's hope that this will end. The fourth thing that is in God's plan for His people to bring justice is to absolutely do that, to bring justice, to bring it. Now, I'm from Texas, Texas born, Texas proud. And one of the things that we do here is we have barbecues. And if you're not from Texas, you don't understand what that means. Because for people that are outside of Texas, right, barbecue means I'm going to throw some weenies on a grill. That is not even close to a barbecue. We are going to have some food that will make your mouth water right now. Texas barbecues are the real deal. And you got to have somebody behind that grill that knows what they're doing, and you got to have some meat on there. I'm apologizing to all my vegan fans. You'll never understand the greatness of a Texas barbecue because there's no such thing as a vegan Texas barbecue. That's an oxymoron. That makes no sense. But one of the things that is customary at a Texas barbecue, one of the unwritten rules of that, besides just having someone that knows what they're doing, besides just serving meat, is when someone invites you to a Texas barbecue, you always ask a question back: what can I do? What can I bring? Everyone here knows exactly what I'm talking about. What can I bring? What can I bring to the party? And I think too many of us, when we're invited into this conversation about justice, we're bringing the wrong thing. It's like bringing a potato salad with raisins. Nobody's going to eat that. And this is what happens on social media when we start throwing out our opinions that aren't based upon the Word of God, that don't come from a place of love or understanding, where we're not really looking to correct oppression or to bring justice, but just to reinforce the values of what we've already made up our mind about. You're bringing potato salad with raisins to the party, and it's gross, it makes noise, it makes no sense, and nobody's having it. And I don't want that to be a part of what the church is, especially my church, anymore. It's time for that to die. What are you bringing to the party? Is it true? Is it lovely? Is it from God's word? Or is it just your opinion? Is it looking to stir the pot to make things worse? This is not the time. The Lord wants us to bring justice. You know, Proverbs 28 tells us this, that evil men don't understand justice. And I would add in my own paraphrase version, and they don't want to. Yeah. Evil men don't understand justice, but it says those who seek the Lord understand it completely. So if we're not understanding how to bring justice, it's because we're not seeking the Lord. And God's word is very clear here that we can bring something beneficial to the party when we're looking to bring justice. We do that by using our social media to help, to support, to learn, to listen, instead of just bringing another potato salad with a raisin. I don't know why that stuck in my head, but it's just the grossest thing I could think of, you know, but I think another way that we bring it in is with our votes. We bring in and vote in people that we know spend time with Jesus. That's how we bring justice to a country that needs it. Vote it in. If you don't vote, don't complain. Bring it in. Here's the fifth thing that is God's plan for justice, and that is to plead the cause. He said, plead the cause of the widow. That word in Hebrew is the word rebu, which means to argue with vehemently or to strive, to contend with, almost to like fight, but with your words. And for those of you that are thinking, that's a great way to describe me. I'm one that will reap, that will argue, will strive with you with my words. It doesn't mean to argue against. It means to argue for, to argue on their behalf. And he's saying, I want you to strive, contend, use your voice, use your influence to plead the cause of those that don't have a voice, those that are marginalized, those that aren't heard. We're seeing the destruction of a people who haven't been listened to. This is what happens when things boil over, when frustration and fear meet, faith becomes fragile, tensions boil, and it turns into chaos and anarchy. The Lord is inviting us to plead the cause, to speak on their behalf. Who are we supposed to speak to? And the answer is this, we're supposed to speak to Him. Yeah. So my question to you is, if pleading the cause means talking to the Lord about this, have you prayed about it or just posted about it? Because this is a huge failure in the church. We'll give people our opinions, might even give them scripture, but we'll never pray over it. You know, in my church, prayer is not a last resort. We are a praying church. We are praying people because we believe that there is power when God's people pray. How do I know that to be true? Because I know that when my children are asking me for something and they're annoying me with it, I will eventually at least give them the time of day. If I don't just give them what they want, I'm a good father. I love my kids. And when they're asking me for something that I know is good, that I know is right, I'll give it to them. One of the silver linings about watching a man get murdered is that universally, people said that is wrong. How is that good? The difference is we know the difference between right and wrong. When we argue back and forth, when we can't decide if it's right or wrong, nothing changes. But the silver lining here is we all see it. And I think that if you're with me, you're thinking like the rest of the world, you're looking at that saying, okay, that is wrong. It's wrong. And if there is right and there is wrong, then there is a giver, a moral lawgiver of what is right and what is wrong. It's an inherent quality given by the Creator Himself to every human being on this planet. You recognize wrong. And it gives us a chance to say, okay, how did we get here? And how do we get out of this? You know, Jesus came into a world of extreme political unrest. Jesus came to a time of rioting and terrorism on a global scale. He came into a place that was not the time in history that I would pick. And what does He do? Does He overthrow the government? No. Could He have? Absolutely. What does He do? He cleanses the temple. And by the way, twice. He starts with the church. He cleanses Christians. He says, look what you've done to my church. You've made it about the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. This is supposed to be a place where people can connect with the heart of the Father. You've made it into something worse. You know, and as I'm looking at that, I see how Jesus teaches a new generation how to bring justice. And he does it through love, through serving. He does it by crossing social boundaries and ministering to and with people that other people turn their nose up at. This is our God. And He teaches this next generation how to do it differently than the generation before. And this is what I feel like is the heart of God for us. It's time to wake up. It's time to do something differently because what got us here is not going to take us there. It's time for this thing to die, and it dies with us. It doesn't stay the same. I'm not willing to let it happen to just be the same on my watch. And I hope that you feel the same way. It is time. It has to die. It has to end. And it will when the church shows up to the party without potato salad with raisins in it. Mm-hmm. We come with persistent prayer. We come with justice. We come with mercy. We come with humility and kindness, serving, esteeming others better than ourselves. You know who those others are? They're not just the people that you like. Not the people that you agree with politically. Not people that vote the same way that you do. He says, others. Others. I love that about God. He's telling us how to be persistent and that it brings results. I want to call on the church to pray, to really pray, to honestly pray, and to not pray for your needs, but pray for the needs of them, to pray for others' needs, to bring your faith into the situation. You know, Jesus, and I'll close it out with this, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus gave a parable. And it says this in verse 1. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And I underlined those two words in my Bible today. Always pray and never give up. I felt like that's what the Lord was speaking to me. I wanted to speak that to you today. Always pray, never give up. And he goes on to say this. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And by the way, you may have someone that comes to mind, a person of power, a politician, a leader that doesn't fear God and doesn't care what people think. They're only in it for their own agenda. They're wasting people's money. They're a waste of taxpayers' dollar. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about, a corrupt politician, a corrupt judge. He says this, and there was a widow in that town that kept coming to him with a plea. She says, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or I don't care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. There's a little fear there. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will God not bring justice for his chosen ones? Those who cry out to him day and night, does God listen to his children when they're crying out for justice? He says, will he keep putting them off? The answer is absolutely not. He's telling us to be persistent in our prayer. And I wrote it down this way. Persistent prayer with a little bit of fear is what changes stubborn minds. Sometimes it takes fear to do that. Fear is a great motivator for change. Sometimes it's the only thing that gets people to change, to have to see things burn, to have to see anger. It has to strike fear into their hearts or they'll never change. But when God's people bring persistent prayer to the party and there's already fear on a global scale, we can use this to see stubborn minds change once and for all. This is a key opportunity for us to do our part. We can't just have fear. We can't just have the stubborn minds. We've already had that. It doesn't produce anything. We have to add in the key, which is persistent prayer. This is where God brings justice. We can only, I believe that when that fear is there, that we will only change if the future is unacceptable to us. And it has never been more acceptable than it is today. I refuse to live in that world and to raise my grandchildren and my children up in a world where they have to be afraid because of their skin color. It's a real thing. God's word is clear that he gives justice when his people plead for it. So don't just post, plead. And then the last scripture in that chapter was something that I'd never seen before that jumped out to me. Jesus says, I tell you, God will see that they get justice. God will see to it. And by the way, he's going to use us to do it. And it comes quickly. And then look at this last scripture that seems not to fit. He said, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So here's Jesus ending this parable about justice, telling them you need to persistently pray, but there's something that we're missing in corrupt politicians, in absence of justice, and someone persisting saying, I need justice, help me. And the missing key was faith. This is the reason why America still has a problem with racism, because faith hasn't shown up to the party. And I'm not going to be a part of that anymore. And I want to invite you to join with me to bring your faith Faith is simply confidence in God. You cannot put your confidence in a political party. They will let you down. You cannot put your confidence in anything other than the God of the Bible. It's the only place that's secure. He's the only one that won't let you down. Where's your confidence? Faith is what is missing from this discussion. The church has to become the church, not the American church, not the Republican church, not the conservative church, the godly church. We belong to Him first. We are sons and daughters of God. And when we start treating each other as equals, God brings justice. His word tells us in Psalm 133 that it's good and it's pleasant. We start dwelling together in unity because there's a commanded blessing that comes from it. I'm ready for the blessing, aren't you? Yeah. Aren't you ready for a time of blessing? I am so ready for that. Yes. Let's strive for unity. It's a good thing. But unity doesn't just start when they start acting like me.
That's right.
Unity starts when I bring faith to the party and say, I'm willing to step into the mess and to be part of the solution, not just part of the problem. Faith, my friend, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you don't see. But the word also tells us that faith without works is dead. You have to do something. You have to vote. You have to have the conversation. You have to be willing to cross the road, be willing to try to understand what maybe you've refused to see. It's frustrating for people. I feel like they have no voice, that they're not understood. And anger is the result of years of frustration. It's here. We can't ignore it anymore. And my hope is that you won't, that you learn. Okay, God, maybe I don't have it all figured out. Maybe I don't have this whole thing locked down like I thought I did. Maybe it's time for me to learn and to do what you're asking me to do. You know, I honestly believe that justice is impossible without faith. So I come here offering you the solution today to start praying and asking the Lord, what would you have me do? That's a dangerous prayer. That's a good prayer. But when the church starts praying for it, submitting their hearts to God and asking God to give me an opportunity, guess what? Opportunities come. And in those moments, I want to invite you to do something that maybe you've never done before, to cross the street and to be willing to be uncomfortable so that change can come. You know, it's not been easy growing up as a minority, but until I was in high school, I didn't know that I was. Had no idea. Racism is a learned response. You know what else we can learn? We can learn how to have great faith. Faith can be taught. We can tell people the story of the goodness of God. And that's one of the most powerful things that you have, the story of what God's done for you. It brings faith into any conversation. Stop being silent about what God has done for you. Stop being silent about how good God is. There's power there in your testimony. There's power there when you're starting to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit, letting Him lead you. Don't be silent. Start pleading the cause. Plead to your Father first and say, okay, God, I'm willing. What would you have me do? Lay down your agenda. Lay down your longing to be right and say, okay, God, it doesn't matter whose side I'm on. Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you black? Are you white? What matters is, are you on His side? And even more than that, is He on yours? I want to be on His side. I want God on my side. I want to do whatever He wants to do. Where's He at? I side with Him. I belong to Him first. You know, my heart is not to offend, but my heart is to absolutely stir you up because it's time. It's time. So would you make a commitment to honestly pray? Would you make a commitment to leave your opinions off for 5 minutes off of social media? Can we do that? Can you do 5 minutes without posting something about what you know to be true? And instead, maybe this week you take some time and simply say, I'm going to post scripture only, just the word. You know, what you'll find basically at the beginning is people won't care. You know, I can post pictures of myself or my wife and I'll get 200 likes. I'll post pictures of one time I ran into Matthew McConaughey and I don't know, I got 1,000 likes. I'll post scripture, I'll get 4. It's okay. One of those could be a life change. My picture with Matthew McConaughey ain't gonna change your life. I wish it would. No, it won't. But the Word of God can be exactly what someone needs in their darkest hour. You have amazing influence in your pocket. Use it for Him. Not for you, not for your candidate, not for your beliefs, but for the one who is worth believing in. Use it for Him. Let Him stir you up to use your voice. Plead the cause. Correct oppression. Use what you have. You have faith. You know, we talked about at the beginning of this, and I'll close with this, that faith gets really fragile when you add frustration and fear. But I found that there can also be another alternative, that when you have fear and frustration, it can also be the recipe for ferocious faith. And this is the time to not be weak, but to be stronger than you've ever been. Because we're facing an enemy that is old, that is loud, and that's aggressive. Remember, my friends, we're not fighting a battle against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. You're going to defeat this with spiritual weapons. Where is your faith? I want to see it this week. Show me. Show the Lord. Get rid of your opinions. Show your faith. Show the Scripture. Show the truth of God's Word. Let's watch what can happen when the church starts becoming the church that's built on the authority of God's Word. That brings justice. You know, if you're sitting there today and you're willing to say, okay, Lord, I want to learn. I want to help. I want to be part of the solution. I'm with you, Pastor. I'm gonna take that challenge. I'm gonna start posting Scripture this week. I'm gonna maybe stay off of some social media stuff, and I'm gonna spend more time in the Word. If you're willing to do that, I want to pray for you, because you're the one that I think God has this message for. If it's just me and if it's just you, that's enough. But I'm hoping that this will catch on, and that the church will realize that there is something that we can do, and it's more than just reposting and resharing and retweeting other people's opinions. Let's get into what Jesus is saying. Let's do this together. If that's you, let me pray for you right where you are. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? And what I like to do when someone's praying for me, I'd like to just open up my hands and place them on my knees, almost as if someone was handing me a gift. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we're in the middle of a complicated issue, and it's so easy for me to feel powerless. It's easy for people to feel guilty. It's easy to fall into a pit of fragile faith filled with condemnation and shame. But instead, Lord, I want to invite you right now to use me to strengthen my faith and to let me be used as an instrument of peace. Lord, I don't want to ignore what's happening in my world. I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Lord, I don't understand it all. I don't have all the answers, but I know that you do. And so my question for you, Lord, is, will you help me? Would you open my eyes? Would you open my understanding and help me to see people the way that you see them? Help me to love past my own boundaries, my own ideology. Help me to see people like you see them and to love them like you love them. I want to be free from this. And I realize that, Lord, if you're going to change the world, it starts at me. So change me first. Change my heart first, and then use me to change others. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you've never had a relationship with God, this next part is for you. I want you to know that God loves you, and you heard this message today for a reason. There's a reason why you listen to it all the way to the end. That's because God is pulling on your heartstrings, and He's telling you it's time to come home. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with God, you used to go to church, but you've gotten away from Him, then today is your day. I want to help you have a relationship with Jesus, just like somebody helped me one time. If you say, how do I do that? I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'll tell you what to say. You can pray it right where you are, and the prayer goes like this. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I pray this. Say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Take control. I give my life to you right now. Save me. Use me. I give myself to you in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so incredibly proud of you. Would you let me know? Do me a favor if you would. Text me. 94090 is the number. And text the words I prayed, I-P-R-A-Y-E-D, all one word. That would mean so much to me. That would encourage me a lot. For everybody else, if you would click like on this message, if you would share it, that would mean a ton to me. I feel like the Lord wants to speak to his people. And for whatever this is worth, I think it would be helpful if you would start sharing things that are good. So would you share this message? Would you click that share button? Would you comment and let us know that this blessed you and that it means something to you? It always encourages us to know that there's somebody out there that's listening, somebody out there that received some encouragement or learned something new or God spoke to them. It means the world to us. So thank you so much for coming. For everybody else, I love you. God bless you. See you soon.